Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. And while you turn, I want you to notice I got a long sermon. See how long those notes are right there? They're long. That's long notes, all right? All right. Let's read verse 32, if you will. In verse 32, it says, "And whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Amen. Jesus had just gotten through, he still was talking to his disciples and telling them what was about to come. And he warned them. He said, "When they deliver you, take no thought of how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." And then he begins to tell them how brother will deliver brother, how you'd be hated for all for his name's sake, how they were going to persecute you, and you'd run to another city, and they'll persecute him there. He says, "Disciple's not above his master, though." He said, "If they called him the devil, they'll call you the devil, too." And he said, "If they beat him, they'll beat you, too." And he said, "But fear," in verse 28, he says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And then he begins to tell them how much God appreciates them and loves them as the sparrows that fall to the ground. He knows it. And the hairs of her head are numbered. And he says they're more valuable than a sparrow. And he said, verse 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." The disciples caught on to this, and it worked. In the book of Acts, it says they turned the world upside down. How'd they do that? With guns, carrying signs, spitting in people's faces, cursing people? No. They accomplished that by confessing Jesus Christ. That's how they turned the world upside down. The early church, that was their only message. They only had one message: Jesus crucified and resurrected, the Savior of all mankind. That's the only message they had. Because in the early church, they were preaching to religious people anyway. Most everybody they preached to was already a Jew or a religious Gentile of some kind. They didn't preach a lot of Bible doctrines, and there's a place for that. And they didn't preach a lot of controversial subjects, and there's a place for that. But Jesus said, "Go and confess him." And he said, "If you'll confess me, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven." He said, "If you deny me, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven." You know, if we'd learn to do that everywhere we go, just confess Christ. Just confess Christ. Everywhere we go, if we would learn how to do that, if we would just do that everywhere, to everyone, all the time, it would change the world. If that's all we talked about was Jesus Christ, not only his birth, but his life and his death and his resurrection, and if we'd confess him as Lord everywhere we went, ended or began every conversation that we had with confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, it would turn our worlds upside down. Your little personal world and that little world right outside of that and your town and everything else. If all professing believers would, it'd turn America upside down as it's done several times before. When people will start confessing Christ, not confess him, to not confess him is to deny him. I don't care if you go to church six times a week. If you don't confess Christ out there, you're denying Christ. I don't care if you've been baptized six times, you know, every minute in the Catawba River by his first name. Not confessing Christ out there is denying Christ out there. Amen. Not confessing Christ at home is denying Christ at home. Not confessing Christ on the job is denying Christ on the job. Not confessing Christ at school is denying Christ at school. You say, well, I just don't talk about it. That way I don't get in trouble. Well, you're denying it then. You're denying it because he said, if you confess his name, they will persecute you. They will speak evil of you. They will call you a child of Beelzebub. They will call you a hypocrite. They will stone you. They will kill you if you confess him. But listen, there's something worse than what they're going to do. Something a whole lot worse than what they'll do. In Matthew 12:30, Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not for me scattereth abroad. You think it's hard just to keep your mouth shut and you say you're a believer. Let me tell you something. If you're not for him, if you're not speaking for him, you're really speaking against him. Amen. If we know the truth and we don't speak the truth, we don't say anything, then it doesn't matter if we know the truth or not. It's not going to help anybody. So therefore, we are denying the truth because we say we believe the truth will help people, but then we don't share that truth, confess that truth. And how shall they hear without a preacher? There's five reasons Christians should confess him openly. When I say openly, I mean everywhere. I mean everywhere, not just at home, not just down there at the job or down there at the schoolhouse. I mean at Walmart. I mean at Dollar General, Dollar Tree, at Food Line, and anywhere we go, we ought to be confessing Jesus Christ. And here's five reasons we ought to do that openly and unashamedly. Now, I know when you try to do it, that old devil gets on you and the flesh says, you just made a fool out of yourself, and they're going to think you're a religious fanatic. But I'd rather them think I was a religious fanatic and give them the truth that would set them free than to make them think I was a religious good old boy and never said nothing and they died and went to hell. Amen. Y'all help me here. Do me some thumbs up or something. This crowd here ain't saying much, all right? Help me, all right? Here's one reason that we ought to confess him openly. Mark 16:16. Look at Mark 16. Turn to the book of Mark, chapter 16, and verse 15 and 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Where? All the world. That's everywhere. Go ye. Well, preacher, that's all right down there at the church. I'll do it down there. Listen to what he says. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, here's a good reason to go out there into all the world and preach the gospel. Because the Bible says that how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how are they going to preach except they be sent? Well, God sent us, and the only way they're going to know how to practice Romans 10:9-10, which most all of you know, the only way they're going to be able to receive Christ, confess Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in his resurrection, confess it with their mouth, and be saved, I've got to confess Christ so they'll know Christ. What good would it have done Philip to run out in that desert, up beside that chariot, with that Ethiopian going home? He went to the temple and left disappointed, didn't find God at the temple. He did not find God in religious ceremonies. And he was reading, he was still searching for God. And the Bible says that he was reading the book of Isaiah. And as he read it, he didn't understand it. And the Holy Spirit sends Philip, and Philip runs up alongside him. Philip had to open his mouth and say something. Or what good would it have been if God sent him out there? What good is it if God sends us out there and we don't say anything? And he says, understandest what thou readest? And the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I except some man guide me? Is the prophet speaking of himself or is he speaking of another to come? And the Bible says that Philip took that right there and preached unto him Jesus. He preached the life and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when he got through preaching, he said, do you believe this? He said, well, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? He said, if thou believest, thou mayest. He said, I believe. And that was it. That's how he got saved. And the both of them went down to water and he got baptized. Now that never would have happened if Philip had went into the world but had not opened his mouth while he was out there. Had not confessed Christ. When people look at us and say, well, you're a pretty good looking upstanding citizen, you ought to say, if you see anything good in me, it's Jesus. He's the one you're looking at because he's the one that makes me what I am. I'm not that. If it wasn't for him, I'd be in a mess. And you ought to know him. You ought to get to know him. He can help anybody. And that's confessing Christ. And then in Psalm chapter 40, verse 16. Now the first one, the reason Christian ought to confess him openly is because the plan of salvation is in the confession. And without a confession, they do not know the plan that God has for them to be saved. Now the second reason is Psalm 40, verse 16. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say, there it is, say continually, the Lord be magnified. Well, you know why he said that? Well, the Lord's not magnified if somebody doesn't say it. He said everybody that knows salvation needs to say it. Need to say it. I've went to work in places, especially in my younger years, I went to work in places, I'd be pastor, youth pastor, or something, you know, in the church, or I'd be going to Bible college at night, and I'd get some old job, you know, and about every job I ever got. It wouldn't be long, I'd be in there, you know, and I was trying to keep my testimony. I wasn't secret about who I was or what I believed, and if they didn't want to know that, they didn't talk to me. Matter of fact, they complain about it sometimes. But every one of those places, you know what I ended up hearing people say? Well, you know, old so-and-so, he says he's a church member. He goes to church, but he don't talk like you. Makes you wonder. If we know the salvation of the Lord, we are supposed to say so. Acts chapter 40, verse 20. Acts chapter 40, verse 20. Look at it with me if you will. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now that's Peter and John. You know what they said? Y'all got to shut up. You got to quit talking about this fellow. You got to quit talking about the power and the presence of a holy God in Jesus Christ. You got to quit that. And they said, how can we stop saying the things that we've seen and heard? How can we do that? And I want to ask you this. How can we as believers not speak of it? We assume that people see it. We assume people look at us and say, well, there she goes. She's a Christian. I can tell by looking at her. No, you can't. No, you can't. Jesus says it's the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaketh. And listen, if it's coming out of the mouth that came out of the heart, they may dress fine. They may be honest people, outstanding, honest, and they may be great citizens. They may be great employees. They might even be good church members, but if they've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and confessed with thy mouth, they are not saved. And if they've only done it once in a church service, I doubt they are saved. The Word of God assumes that we will say it. The Word of God just pronounces that. And it's like God saying, well, I just expect you to do that. I just expect you to say it. There are no such thing. Now, you listen real close. When I was a younger preacher, I wouldn't have said this. But there are no such things as people who are secret disciples. There's no such thing. No such thing. You know why? Because you're known by what you say. And what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. and all the believers in the records of the Word of God said it. They spoke salvation. They talked about salvation. They confessed salvation. And I thought about it a little bit deeper than that. In all of Christian history, everything you ever read about Christians in past history, the way we know they were Christians is they said it. They confessed it. And the Bible just states the fact, like it's assuming you're a believer, so you're going to say it. And Peter and John said, how can we help but to say what we've seen and heard? And how can we as believers not confess Christ everywhere we go? How can we help that? If God the Holy Ghost lives in us, and God commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and if Jesus said we ought to be witnesses, and if disciples, they were witnesses, and the past history of Christians, they were all witnesses, how can we live in this world and not confess openly and unashamedly with our mouth faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone? How can we do that? I got the answer. Jesus said it. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. That tells me you can't not say it. We must speak it. Believe in the heart, he said. Romans 10:19. Thou shalt believe in thy heart on the Lord Jesus. All right, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's where a lot of people stop, right there. But then he says, and confess with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. The transaction's not through until you say it. Brother Allen goes visiting with me sometimes. Y'all pray for Brother Allen. His hearing is just about gone completely. He's a wonderful and a sweet man, very intelligent, a great Christian. He's been all over the world preaching the gospel. And now he's down to going with me. And I'll take him places. But he don't hear people very well. But the other day I took him to see a man that was sick. Deathly sick. And he talked to that man while I talked about that man's son about being saved. The man saved that he went to talk to, but the man sick. And we've seen it here. God heals sick people. When you pray, the faithful, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. People get healed sometimes, if that's God's will. And Alan's seen a lot of people healed because he has great faith. He really does. But the young man didn't really want to talk to me, so we ended up not really getting to do much witnessing. But we got in the car, and Brother Allen said he didn't want it. I said, why? He said he didn't want the healing. I said, what do you mean he didn't want the healing? The man's dying. He said, yeah, but he told me that he's got this. I said, what does that mean, he's got this? He said, well, he's lived through a lot of bad things in his life, and he survived, and here he's an old man, and now he's got this, and he figures he's going to get over this. I said, he ain't getting over this. If God don't heal him, he's going to die. He said, well, I told him that. He said, but he told me he's all right. He said he wouldn't receive it. And he said, if he doesn't receive it, he won't say it. And if he don't say it, he's not going to ask for it. And if he don't ask for it, God's not going to give it to him. All it was between this man and what could be healing, I don't know, but it could be. All that stood between him and healing was to open his mouth and say it. He didn't do it. Of course, he wasn't healed when we left. I believe he's saved. I believe he's going to heaven. But he wouldn't believe enough to be healed. And you know, there's a lot of Christians like that. They say they believe it, but they don't believe it enough to confess it. That's right. They say they're believers. They say you ask them, you take them through the plan of salvation. Are you a sinner? Admit you're a sinner. All have sinned. Yes. Do you believe Jesus died for our sins? The Bible says wages of sin is dead. Didn't have to die. He died in our place. Yes, I believe that. Do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? He paid for our sins on Calvary because the Bible says God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, I believe that. Do you believe he rose from the dead the third day to prove God had accepted that sacrifice and we can be saved? Yes, I believe that. Well, have you ever asked him? No. And I said, well, why don't you ask him right now? Well, and they refuse to say it. They refuse to believe. They say they believe in the heart, but they refuse to confess it with their mouth, and they're not saved. And then there's other saved people who say they're saved, and they've confessed Christ before a congregation, but they refuse to do it out there in the world. They're afraid. They're intimidated. I don't know why they won't do it. But they don't do it. So therefore, because they don't confess it, somebody else doesn't get saved. Y'all see how this works? All believers in all records in the Word of God and in true biblical church history confessed it everywhere they went. They went into all the world and preached the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. You know time goes quicker when there ain't a bunch of people in here. You know that? Acts chapter 8, when all the bad ones stay home. No, I'm teasing. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Look at it with me. Acts chapter 8, I think it's 5. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. In verse 4, therefore they were scattered abroad. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. Preaching the word. And this is where the Ethiopian eunuch comes in. But they were scattered. Why were they scattered? I'm going to tell you why. The Jerusalem church grew to 10, 15,000 people just about overnight. Just thousands were being saved at one time. But they weren't doing anything with it. They were getting saved. They were being baptized. They were meeting from house to house every day. The Bible says they were having meetings every day. But nobody was going out and confessing Christ and spreading the gospel. They just kept it right there. And there's a lot of churches like that. They just keep it in their little old church. And because they would not go into all the world and preach the gospel, God sent persecution. And they were scattered abroad, and it says it right here, that those that were scattered went everywhere preaching the gospel. Now, you know, sometimes God has to make us say it. He has to make us confess Christ. You ever notice that? I've known people that never confessed Christ in public places until they got put in the hospital. And all of a sudden, they think, this may be my last days, and I better start telling people about Jesus before I leave out of here. I've got to stand before God, and now I don't want nobody else to go to hell. And then they start telling people about the Lord. Some of the greatest people that ever witnessed, confessed Christ, were in hospital beds. And that's the truth. That's the truth. I think it's kind of late, but I think maybe God might have put them there so they would, you know. It may be that persecution, trial, tribulation, heartache, heartbreak, these things God uses to drive us to look up to Him. Then when we look up to Him, He takes over and then we'll confess Christ. But they went everywhere preaching the gospel. You know, I think that Jesus, who's Lord of the harvest, I think that He expects that, don't you? Why do I think that? Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now let me tell you something. If we will let Him, the Lord will put us in situations to where we have to confess Christ. We have to. But it's usually easier if we'll just go ahead and do it everywhere we go, to everybody we meet and everything we're involved in. If we'll preach the gospel, we'll confess Jesus Christ. Now, look at Matthew 18. Matthew 18, I'm about done. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 32 and 33. Matthew 18. 32 and 33. Then his Lord, after he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Now you know the story. You know the story. And listen, look here. There in verse 34, and his Lord was wroth or angry and delivered him to the tormentors, and he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. The day of judgment requires that we confess Christ. We're going to stand before a holy God one day, and he's going to look at us. And by the way, he don't have to ask you anything. I don't even know if he'll ask anything. It's all going to be in the books. He's going to say, open the books, the book, the word of God, the book of life, and now the book of their works. Open that book. Let's see. Did they confess me to anybody? How many people did they have a hand in getting them to Christ like somebody did for them? And then he's going to say, nobody here, Lord. And he's going to turn to us and he's going to say, look here, you wicked servant, you wicked servant. All I forgave you of, and all that I gave you, and all that I forgot that you did, and then you didn't have enough compassion to share that with others, wicked servant. And of course, we'll get to go to heaven because we're eternally saved, but we'll go without any reward for leading people to Christ. The day of judgment requires that we witness. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. Listen to what he says. If any man's work abide, no, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now listen, we can get locked off if we want to, but every time we don't confess Christ out there in public, it grieves the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Because God saved us for His glory. And if we're not confessing it, then God's getting no glory. And by the way, sometimes we even take the glory that belongs to God. Amen. People will brag on us and talk about how great we are, and we let them do it when what we ought to say, I went to work at Signet Paging back when they sold beepers. Y'all remember beepers? And I got me a job there, and, I had my first lady boss. My first lady boss. She was about 2 inches taller than me, and she was a Yankee. I mean, somebody from up north. And, tough talking woman, you know. And, one day, I just happened to be in the break room. I was heating up my lunch, and I was going to eat lunch, and I usually had a time where nobody else ate lunch. Who wants to eat lunch with the young preacher, you know? And she came in, started heating up something. She said, Ron, tell me about yourself. So I began to tell her. And it ended up with my salvation and being born again. And I thought, maybe they'll just touch her old northern heart, you know. And people started coming in, then about 5 or 6 come in. She said, hey, everybody, listen, you ought to hear Ron Roddy's story, how he lifted himself up by his own bootstraps and how far he's brought himself. I said, no, y'all don't need to hear that. That's not me. That's the Lord. I told you, the Lord does that. You don't do that. But listen, God will put us in places where we have to be witnesses. We have to confess Christ. And if you don't, woe be unto you if you take the glory for it. I ain't taking glory for it. I ain't going to do it. I'll talk about him. People say, well, tell me about yourself. I said, ain't much to tell about me. Old white trash, got saved by the grace of God. Let me tell you who saved me. Amen. And then Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, he says this. Having the glory of God and her light, I'm sorry, verse 11. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead and small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's a day of judgment coming, and woe be unto us believers if we do not confess Christ before this lost generation, and if we don't lift up the name of Jesus Christ, they have no hope. And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to tell them? Nobody. We need to remember, everybody we meet is either saved or lost. And we don't know which they are unless they tell us. And so if we speak to them about that question and they say it, we help them fulfill the word of God by them confessing it. Or if they say they're lost, then we get to fulfill the word of God by our confessing it to the lost. This is not rocket science. It's pretty simple stuff. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, the good and the bad. Preach the gospel. Don't assume people are saved by the way they look. Don't. You confess it to everybody. Don't assume people are saved just because of the house or neighborhood they live in. Don't you do it. Don't do it. You're going to make a lot of mistakes if you do. I'll tell you that. And then last but not least, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now let me ask you something. If he's not ashamed to call me brother, why would I be ashamed to call him brother? Amen. He's not ashamed of us if we're not ashamed of him. And then in Acts 4:13, and you don't have to turn there, but in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, he says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Did you know the sacrifice of Calvary demands that we confess Christ? It demands it. What Jesus did on Calvary will give us not only inspiration to confess Christ, but once we confess Christ, we get to experience the sacrifices of Calvary over and over and over by reminding ourselves how good God's been to us. It demands it. If Jesus died, that demands that we confess Christ. And if he's not ashamed to call me brother, why would I be ashamed to call him brother? Why would I be ashamed? If he's not ashamed to confess me before the Father, the creator of the universe, why would I be ashamed to confess him before some poor sinner out here? I think what's wrong with America and our churches in America today is this. There's not a confessing Christ like there ought to be. I think Christians have gotten so comfortable, they now look like the world, they dress like the world, they talk like the world, they act like the world, they bring the world into the church, and now they're ashamed to confess what they know they really are in their heart, born again, child of God, trust in Christ. They become so worldly, they're no heavenly good. And if we get back to confessing Christ and quit bragging on the newest Christian rock group we got coming and quit bragging on the newest football, baseball, basketball confessing Christian that's coming and quit bragging on Dr. So-and-so and start bragging on Jesus again, more people would get saved again, God would bless again, and America would turn around again when we had those who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Right now, there's a battle going on between good and evil. This is not Democrat and Republican. This is good and evil. And Satan is attempting through that Chinese communist heathen place to shut down the witness of Jesus Christ in this country. It ain't to shut down Republicans. It's not to shut down Trump. It's to shut down the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the root of it all right there. Now all that other stuff is just parts of it. And they influence it. But what's going on in America today is the devil is trying to get Christians to have lockjaw and stop confessing Christ. We don't need to have unholy alliances. We don't need to team up with people that are lost. We don't need to team up with anti-Christians and cults and all this stuff just so we can have our political party and all those things. Remember, Jerry Falwell tried that and it didn't work too good. The moral majority. Y'all remember that? We don't need to do all that. What we need to do is get back to confessing Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings and our Savior, and He'll do the work everybody else is not doing anymore. He'll do the work. He'll convict and He'll convert the sinner, and that'll comfort our nation when people start getting saved again. By the way, it's hard to confess Christ and be a crooked politician. It's hard to confess Christ and be a communist sympathizer. It's hard to confess Christ and be involved in worldly entertainment. And there's some battle lines being drawn. And we're going to have to get like the Apostle Paul and say, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. And when we get back to that, when the so-called believers get back to that, then the sinners will start confessing Him again too. Let's don't get too comfortable in this old world, okay? Because in order to get comfortable, you're going to have that word compromise. If you compromise, those people you compromise with is going to die and go to hell. And you're going to stand before a holy God with bloody hands. Lord, help us. Let's make Cornerstone Baptist Church a place where people say, if I can just get you down there to that church, you'll hear the gospel. Hey, I believe on Jesus. If you'll come down there, all those people believe on Jesus. The preacher will preach about Jesus. The songs will be about Jesus. You'll hear the Word of God. You'll hear about Jesus Christ's life and His death and His burial and His resurrection and salvation through Him alone. And if we can just have an old lighthouse down here on 455 Hands Mill Highway that people know, if I can just make it down there, I can get saved. If I can just call one of those people, they'll tell me how to be saved. Let's get back to that. Now, if you're not saved tonight, listen, you've heard enough to be saved. Admit you're a sinner. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what He's done in His life, His death, and His burial, and His resurrection, and then confess that you believe that and ask Him to save you, and He'll save you. Some of you Christians, I hope you start get back to confessing Christ, okay? We'll have a holy desire to confess Him more than anything else. And what better time than Christmas? What better time than Christmas? It shocks you how many people out there are celebrating Christmas without a Christ. They have no Christ. And it could be they have not one because you've never shared yours. Amen. Father, Add your blessings to the reading of your word tonight. Save some sinner. Reclaim some backslider. Inspire your saints. Revive your church. Lord, help us go out into the world this week, all of us, and preach the gospel everywhere to everybody, every time. And we'll thank you for it and give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's sing.